Most gracious God, thank you for creating us as relational people.
For infusing in us a need for community.
A desire to belong and to contribute to the whole.
We gather today as a learning community inspired by your design.
We gather together seeking that which is true.
That which is honorable.
That which is just.
That which is pure.
That which is pleasing.
That which is commendable.
We open ourselves to the moving of your Spirit among us, that we might be transformed by your very presence.
Guide us through this service, that in our individual and collective journeys, we might more fully resemble you as a wise and loving and just people.
May it be so. Amen.
Please turn with me to the Sing the Journey book, the green one, number 44.
Good morning, and welcome to EMU and our new academic year 2013-14. It's great to see so many new faces joining all the returning familiar faces here in our community of learning. The fall convocation is always a happy and hopeful occasion when we reconnect with friends and colleagues, extend a warm welcome to the new folks among us, and prepare ourselves for the challenging tasks ahead. Our convocation theme this year is belonging. And since belonging is a collective, communal thing, I invite you to collaborate with me in making our welcome to each other. Please take 5 seconds right now and turn to the person on your right and the person on your left and tell them, you belong at EMU. Thank you. Thanks for doing my job for me. At EMU, we make much of the fact that we are a community of learning. It's right there in a bold declaration in our vision statement. EMU envisions a learning community marked by academic excellence, creative process, professional competence, and passionate Christian faith, offering healing and hope in our diverse world. It's significant that the opening line of our vision statement begins with community and ends with diversity. If we are going to be an effective learning community marked by excellence and creativity, then we must welcome the whole range of human diversity into our conversation. Whoever you are, student, faculty, or staff, whatever knowledge, wisdom, and experience you bring, you belong at this table. You are welcome in this community. Your voice is needed in our conversation. Today, August 28th, we mark the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous I Have a Dream speech at the March on Washington. The essence of Dr. King's dream was about expanding our definition of who belongs at America's table. 50 years later, we still struggle to realize that dream, to extend our embrace as warmly and widely as we should. That same dream is at the heart of a liberal arts education, and it's particularly central to how we do the liberal arts at EMU. Together, we explore the whole range of human knowledge and experience, asking the most important questions, broadening our horizons, tapping into the wisdom of the ages and the wisdom of the diverse cultures all around the globe. And we do all of our exploring rooted in our faith in a God whose most basic characteristic is love, a God who welcomes the stranger, a God who tells each of us, you belong. Thank you, each one of you, for joining this community and for contributing your gifts to our mutual quest, a great adventure we call learning. Thank you, and welcome to a new year. We have a special guest with us on the platform this morning who, a little later, will be introducing President Lauren Schwarzentruber and offering a special recognition. In the interest of time, I'm going to introduce him now and then invite him to come straight to the podium at the appropriate time. Carlos Romero is the executive director of the Mennonite Education Agency. Carlos was born in Puerto Rico and has served the Mennonite Church in a broad range of institutions and agencies in both Puerto Rico and the mainland. During the 1980s, he was the administrator of Academia Mennonita, a pre-K through 12 school in Puerto Rico. During the 1990s, he worked for the Mennonite Church Board of Congregational Ministries with responsibility for youth programs. From 1999 to 2002, he served as vice president of student life and dean of students at Goshen College in Indiana. Since 2002, he's been the executive director of the Mennonite Education Agency. In keeping with our theme today, I'd like to note that throughout his career, a central aspect of Carlos' work has been that of intercultural competency and dismantling racism. He was co-founder of Developing Harmony Through Diversity, an initiative of the Mennonite Church on dismantling racism in the 1990s. Today, Carlos is a qualified administrator for the Intercultural Diversity Inventory and has trained boards on the importance of working to end racism at the institutional level. Carlos, we're happy to have you with us today.
Several times a year, we sing our university hymn, Christ of the Mountain. It's found in the pocket in the back of the blue hymnal.
We are I will be reading Luke 6, verses 27 to 31. But if you are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for the happiness of those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give what you have to anyone who asks you for it. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do for others as you would like them to do for you.
Hey, I'm Andrew Penner from Fresno, California.
And I'm Christine Baer from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And we are co-presidents of the Student Government Association, or SGA. We would like to take a moment to extend a warm welcome to all who will be part of the EMU community during the year. No doubt in a few weeks, we will all be immersed in our own academic worlds. Projects, meetings, and extracurricular involvements will dominate our time. Remember that each department and program bring unique stories and perspectives to our campus. Branch out beyond what you know and use the time we have in this diverse community to build relationships across departmental divides.
I really hope all you guys had a great start to the year. It's so awesome to see all your wonderful faces from all over this country and all over this world to make a family here on the corner of Mount Clinton Pike and Park Road. I'm really excited to get to know all of you guys throughout this year, but I'm also excited to see you guys all out on campus, all participating in campus events. So grab your roommates, grab your hall, grab your whole building, and come out and support EMU. And with that, I say welcome and enjoy what EMU has to offer. Thank you.
The poet and writer T.S. Eliot wrote, "What we call the beginning is often the end, and to make an end is to make a beginning." These are words that seem to me are appropriate as you gather for the first convocation of the new academic year, with the realization of new beginnings and with the memory of things that have ended or have changed in each one of your lives. This morning, I have the privilege to introduce to you, although in many ways, perhaps he does not need much introduction, Dr. Lauren E. Schwarzenegger, president of Eastern Mennonite University, who is beginning his 11th year in that position. 11 years ago, President Schwarzenegger was the unanimous choice of the EMU Board of Trustees and of the Mennonite Education Agency Board of Directors called to serve in this role. Over his life, he has given his energy, his thoughts, his mind in service of the church and the institutions as an ordained minister serving in several congregation settings, as executive of the Mennonite Church Board of Education, and as president of both Heston College and now Eastern Mennonite University. A native of Kelowna, Iowa, Schwarzenegger graduated from EMU in 1976. I am tempted to ask, who was not born yet? No, don't answer. With a bachelor's degree of arts in liberal arts and earned a Master of Divinity degree from Eastern Mennonite Seminary in 1979. He also received a Doctor of Ministry degree in church leadership from the Northern Baptist Theological Seminary back in 2000, where he focused on the topic of increasing Mennonite parental involvement in the college decision choice. He has served in multiple boards as well as in state and national higher education associations and has been active in congregational life. And perhaps I could go on and list a number of the agencies, boards, and roles that he has had over the many years of his work. But I want to focus perhaps on a few other things. President Schwarzenegger's life has been characterized by his deep love and commitment to the church, to the mission of the church, and to the calling that he has received and accepted from the church. He is a compassionate leader, a tireless worker, an inspiring advocate of Mennonite education, whose contribution will benefit the whole church far into the future, and for that, we are very grateful. The American singer Marian Anderson said, "Leadership should be born out of the understanding of the needs of those who will be affected by it." I believe that this has been one of the gifts and key strengths of President Schwarzenegger. He is in touch with those that he serves as leader, and in turn led by God in all of his efforts. President Schwarzenegger has given his life to make a difference in people's lives. His commitment to high academic standards is accompanied by a deep commitment, interest, care, but most important, love for those whom he has been called to serve. I recently read a quote that said, "Whatever our career may be, true leadership means to receive power from God and to use it under God's rules to serve people in God's way." That has been a reflection of Dr. Schwarzenegger's life and leadership, a commitment to empower others and a willingness to confront the difficult challenges of today. As I've had the privilege of seeing him work and working with him over many years, I saw that perhaps the words written by Peter Drucker about leaders perhaps reflected to a high extent the type of leadership that I have seen him exert over the time. Drucker wrote, the leaders who work most effectively, it seems to me, never say I. And that's not because they have trained themselves not to say I. They don't like or they don't think I. They think we. They think team. They understand that their job is to make the team function. They accept responsibility and don't sidestep. But we get the credit. That is what creates trust and what enables you to get the task done. I cannot finish my words this morning without also mentioning his spouse, Patricia Schwarzenegger, that being a leader herself has opted for the last decade to serve as a full-time volunteer at EMU, promoting and supporting Dr. Schwarzenegger's work within the institution and beyond. I should have also said that Dr. Schwarzenegger also has a sense of humor. And those of you that were here on Sunday for the Sunday opening convocation heard the words of wisdom on how we can help him. And that is that when he smiles up here, that means he's saying a joke. So let's make sure that we laugh this morning when he speaks to make him feel good. So as we celebrate the beginning of this new year, the Mennonite Education Agency and Mennonite Church USA joins you to celebrate and to honor not just the 10 years of Dr. Schwarzenegger at EMU, but his 30 years of work on behalf of Mennonite higher education, but perhaps I can better say that by saying for his 30 years of work on behalf of the many lives that have been touched by his ministry. Welcome, President Schwarzenegger.
My 91-year-old dad is on email. Could you send that as an attachment to him? It was September 1956. Just a few days from now, we will celebrate 57 years of this experience. I was a first grader at Kelowna Elementary School, and the first grade class was lining up to return into the classroom after noon recess. We actually had recess in those days. And my dad showed up unexpectedly and came to the classroom, and he asked the teacher, could the teacher allow me to go with my dad to our house for a few minutes? He had something to show me. Now, this was all of four blocks, but I rode in his pickup truck, and on those four blocks over to our house, I peppered him with questions about what it was that he was planning to show me. I asked him if it was a puppy. No, he said, it's not a puppy. I said, how about a new bike? No. And finally, he just said, just wait, you'll see. We walked into the house, and on my bed was a baby crying very loudly. And my mom was standing there, and she said, this is your brother. His name is Darwin. So I asked the obvious question, where did he come from? I mean, remember, I'm only six, and we had not yet had the talk. And as progressive as Mid Prairie school system was, we hadn't had sex education by first grade. So my parents' answer to the question was Mercy Hospital in Iowa City. And I said, okay. Darwin was adopted. Frankly, I'm not sure that actually was explained to me at the time. I doubt that I knew then whether I was their biological child or adopted. All I know is that I was very happy to have a little brother. And so in case you wonder if I was happy, I thought I would show you just a couple of photos. There are more. This was after my parents took a trip to Bermuda. Somehow he got the hat, but we both got the shirts. And this is the budding golf career, apparently, except it was with croquet mallets. And I got my new bike. But that was a few months later at Christmas. Now, I can't claim to understand or know or fully appreciate all that Darwin has experienced psychologically as an adopted child. Some of you can personally relate to that experience. I do know it hasn't always been easy. Not only am I biological child and he's adopted, we don't look alike. And there are some of the more typical first child, second child things going on in our family. And the fact is, he has some gifts that I do not have. And we are different. He's a great mechanic. He reads voraciously. And he has worked full-time as a mechanic in the city of Iowa City for most of his career. I do know that he has occasionally used humor as a coping mechanism. When we were living in Elkhart, Indiana, both of my brothers were standing together, just the two of them. The youngest, who is another biological child, and unfortunately for him, looks and sounds just like me. And a friend of ours walked up to the two of them, and he looked at Larry, and he said, obviously, you are Lauren's brother. Larry said, yes, and this is Darwin. He's also our brother. And my friend, whose identity I do not know, was stunned. And he didn't know what to say. And finally, in his confusion, he looked at Darwin and he said, yeah, if I look long enough, I can see the resemblance. To which Darwin replied, no, you can't. I'm adopted. And my friend just turned around and left. Sharon Delos Parks, in her book, Big Questions and Worthy Dreams, says that all of us oscillate between two great yearnings. We oscillate between independence the power to make a difference, on the one end of the continuum, and on the other end, the need to belong, this deep desire to belong, to find a connection, inclusion, relationships, intimacy. And we spend our lifetimes oscillating between these two ends of the continuum. And every single one of us enters into this internal dance. We do it within our families. I did it, Darwin did it, even though we come from different experiences in some ways into that family. We do it in our early years of school, in our communities where we were raised. And as we've already noted today in Martin Luther King celebrations, we understand in a deeper way and continue to understand and are daily reminded in our society that there are still many in our society who face barriers to full inclusion. For those who marry, it's a dance. Within that relationship of the independent need as well as the need to belong. In the Christian tradition, we are told that we are adopted into the family of God. It is indeed a lifelong dance. And now we dance at EMU, literally and figuratively. In a certain kind of way, each of us is adopted into this particular community we call EMU, and every single one of us has a deep yearning to belong. So the question is, how can each of us behave in such a way as to extend belonging to each other? And I offer this morning a very simple but profound, if we implement it, an approach to human relationships that would transform ourselves and the world. And most of us know that every world religion has a version of the golden rule. As Karen Armstrong talked about in her religious or her work as a religious historian in a TED talk in 2009. Some state it positively, treat others as you want to be treated. Some state it more negatively, don't do to others what you would not like them to do to you. And I think we perhaps should start with the question that's very basic, and that is, what gives me pain? And then from that answer, refuse to inflict that pain on anyone else. So here are some of the ways that this has been shared in various religious traditions. In Christianity, you heard the text from Luke 6:31, do to others as you would have them do to you. Rabbi Hillel, from the Jewish tradition, who was a contemporary of Jesus, was asked to sum up all of the Jewish law while standing on one leg. And he said, that which is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. In the Islamic tradition, no one of you is a believer until he desires for his brother that which he desires for himself. Confucius, all day, all the time. In other words, not just a good deed for the day. Buddhism, hurt not yourselves and hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. And Hinduism, this is the sum of duty. Do not unto others what you would not have them do unto you. And then there was on Monday morning of this week in the Daily News Record, a letter to the editor. I think he missed the point. Here I believe in reciprocity. To me, that's the golden rule. Do unto others as they do unto you. Notice I didn't include the writer's name. There is research by Eisenberger and Lieberman that when we are injured psychologically, the same area of our brain is activated as if we were injured physically. All of this begins at the level of interpersonal relationships in our one-to-one interactions, but extends much, much further. Some of you are familiar with the work by Donna Hicks, Dignity, the Essential Role It Plays in Resolving Conflict. And Hicks says it this way, my experience tells me that the way we treat one another matters, and when people feel their dignity has been violated, they will go to war if necessary to regain it. Now, the fact is, implementing the Golden Rule doesn't resolve all problems. So just a word of caution. Don't expect your professors to go easy because of the Golden Rule. You might wish for that. Not going to happen. And frequently, as we live in community, it means that we as individuals need to adjust our personal preferences for the common good. I often use the example, and Bruce Emerson, I suspect, uses this frequently. We can't all carry things out of the cafeteria, even though if one of us did it, it wouldn't really be a problem. But if 1,700 plus people do it, it's a problem. And that's an example of perhaps, in a very basic way, an adjustment that we make to live in community. So as we enter into the new academic year, hear again these words from Luke 6:31. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Linda Martin-Burkholder with Cross Cultural Programs Office. And as I make this introduction, I'd like to ask our semester cross-cultural groups and leaders to come up and gather on the steps. We are sending today and tomorrow two groups who are departing for 15 weeks of study in China and in Spain and Morocco. And the Spain-Morocco group is led by Professor Carol Snell-Fikema and her husband Michael. And there are 16 students in that group, as well as two of the Fikema's teenage children. The China group is led by Dr. Deirdre Smeltzer, our academic dean, along with Merle and Ruthie Beiler. There are 20 students in the Spain-Morocco group. We want all of you to go. There are 16 students in the China group, and that group will be leaving EMU tomorrow morning at 6:45 if you'd like to see them off in front of University Commons. The Spain-Morocco group will leave at 12:40 today, so if you are not in class, please join us outside here in Lehman Circle to see them off as well. And we will have a blessing for these groups and wish them safe travels and wonderful studies, and we look forward to seeing the things you send back about what you're doing.
I'd invite the friends and family members of those who are gathered here on the steps to come forward to lay hands on them as we say a blessing and a prayer for them before they leave. You can come up here on the stage as well, gather behind them, not a problem. There's some room here on the sides yet if you want to keep coming forward. Let's pray together for these groups. God of love, grace, and mercy, we gather this morning and acknowledge your presence with us. This morning we especially ask your protection and blessing on each of the students and the leaders who will be traveling to China, Spain, and Morocco. We're grateful for their desire and willingness to step into unknown places, to grow, to learn, and to be challenged through this experience. We ask you to open their eyes to the extraordinary world that you have created, that they would have hearts and minds of curiosity, openness to seeing you, God, in unlikely places, and that they would care for one another along the way. May you be evident to them in times of loneliness, in moments of fear or anxiety, and also in times of joy and discovery about others and about themselves. Again, we pray for the safety and health of each one, not only for them, but the people that they'll meet and those that they're leaving behind. We pray especially for the leaders of both groups. Give them wisdom for the journey and the ability to sense your presence along the way. Thank you for the opportunity that each of us has as travelers, as learners, and as people, able to risk stepping out of what is often a comfortable world here at EMU and into a world where we become more vulnerable and dependent on your love and protection, and also dependent on the community. We have each other. Help us to acknowledge that. In your mercy, we pray. Amen.